If the ban goes through, what's left here for me?
This isn't just about sheep. It's about people like me.
My town.
My community.
My future.
I am definitely not giving up.
Stand with us.
Stand with our rural communities. Put Anthony Albanese and Labor last.
Authorised by Ben Sutherland. Keep your sheep, Ravenstall.
On Perth 6PR, it's Saturday Night with Fred Mafraken.
That is where you are. Get down to Yagan Square if you want to be part of Illuminate Festival until 11 p.m. One man that will probably head off there straight after this is our travel guy. Talking travel, of course, with Chris Parry. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Fred. How are you going?
Nice to have you here.
Great to be.
And I've spoken to you. We normally speak in the producer's area before you go in and see Burjo. But I thought, oh, how privileged am I? Because I do love – you do a different travel segment, which I think is completely different. You don't say, here, let's go to Bali for a week. It's this, that. You know, I love the fact that you do things around travel that people all want to know about but probably never hear about.
Thanks for that. I think what I love hearing in a travel show, and that's what I try and do, is something that everybody can be involved in.
Mm.
So presenting an issue or a topic or something that we've all got experience with travelling, and we all come from different backgrounds. I mean, we can talk about, you know, the cost of living and everything else, but we can also talk about the way we grew up, the sort of holidays we had, where we holidayed. We've all had vacations, whether it just be down the road or whether it's, I grew up in Narrogin and every school holiday was over across to Rockingham.
Well, the same with me. Yeah. Yanchep, Bunbury, like you said, Rockingham, Mandurah.
Yep. So it wasn't always overseas or like it is now. It's a lot more. So we can sort of be nostalgic, or we can talk about, the emerging trends as well, where we all want to go and what we're doing.
And so. Is it amazing, even though we were saying we're roughly the same age and we were saying where we went was just simple places around the place, but we had such a good time. The first time I ever went to Bunbury or the first time I went to Mandurah. So tonight the theme is first time travel. Is that what we're looking at?
Your first time. So we've got to get our mind out of the gutter. Normally when we say what your first time was, we're talking about something else.
Yep.
But tonight we're talking about your first time. So whether it's your first time interstate or your first time to the beach, your first family holiday, the first time you went overseas, the first time you travelled as a family, first time with your pet, whatever it is. I just had a recent experience where for the last week I was in South Australia and my 15-year-old son was with us, the family went. And he's been overseas, but he hadn't been outside of WA within Australia.
Mm.
So the excitement there of seeing a Stobie pole, they don't have the wooden power poles in South Australia. They're made of steel and concrete. That's a travel memory for this little fella. And we went across the border to Victoria. We got the photo of him on the border with the sign. We went to Apsley, a little town across the border, and sat in the general store and had a drink.
Yep.
Oh, great memories for a 15-year-old. First time in South Australia and Victoria.
You're getting me thinking about my first time. Do you remember the days when we couldn't afford airfares?
Absolutely.
And I used to go with Greyhound buses, Greyhound deluxe coach lines. They were the way to go if you didn't have a lot of money. And I think it was about $200 and it was a return. So I went to Melbourne, I went to Sydney, and I went to Adelaide, and I went to Brisbane. So I went with the double ones, the double coach ones.
Yeah.
And I never forget going to a roadhouse for the first time, and I never knew there were such things. And every 4 hours, the bus would stop. And you'd go to the toilet, you'd have a shower if you want, and you had about a half an hour break.
Yep, just enough time to get a spearmint milkshake.
Spearmint milkshakes, and not only that, fish and chips or anything, pasta. It was just, and did you ever notice that whatever you bought tasted amazing?
Oh, absolutely.
Even if it didn't, wasn't. Somebody else could come in and say, oh, this is crap. Yep. But we loved it.
And it became your tradition, what roadhouse you would stop at. And my dad would only ever stop, on the way to Rockingham, we'd go through the forest of Jarrahdale.
Mm.
So we'd stop off there and he'd get a spearmint milkshake. We weren't allowed to have food and drinks in the car.
No.
All had to be consumed before we hopped in the car. But then driving off, dad would do a belch and the whole car would just smell of spearmint.
And everyone would laugh.
Yeah.
Do you know what's funny? I was saying to you, Chris, that back when I was young, we never had mobile phones, right?
No.
And so there wasn't memories made. We used to take the photo with us and you didn't even know if they were going to turn out because you didn't have a way of developing.
6 months later when you got the film developed.
And so most of the time the photos didn't work and you say, oh, I missed that, but you had your memories.
Yeah.
And that's what we lived on basically. It was the human thing, you know, like, you know yourself, you've just done some travel over east and it's just that emotional thing where little things that you and I grew up with, the kids find fantastic, even though it's a modern world we live in.
Yeah.
Without the mobile phones, we were fine. We lived really well. Now they're in the car, they're playing games on phones, they're looking up stuff if they've got internet. But it, look, the first time I went on a plane.
Yep. You know, Where was that to?
Well, the first time I got on a plane was to go to Sydney and it was Compass Airlines. I don't know if you remember them.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Compass, spread your wings,
Australia.
Great livery
on the plane. Do you remember? Compass.
Let Compass look after you. And it was a $99 fare. I heard it on the radio and it was Compass offering $99 fares return from Perth. And I went, $99? I thought, can't be. So I rang them up and it was normally about $500 or $600 each way. I got the airfare. And one thing that I always remember, first time flying Compass, there was so much leg room. You weren't sort of crushed in the plane and you had these food, the food that came in a little tray and all the – and I went, this is paradise. Yeah. Unlimited drinks. You could have whatever – how much Coke you wanted or drinks and there wasn't a price tag. I mean, obviously now there is. You don't get any food. You have to pay for everything you get.
Do you remember how I think it might have just been Qantas that did it. Mm. Just before descent, they'd walk around with a tray of Minties.
Correct.
To help you with the ears.
And Mentoses as well.
Yeah.
Or wrap,
chew on a Minty.
Correct. Yeah. And they don't do that anymore.
No,
do you remember the peanut packets? Remember when we used to get the little crunchy peanut things and they used to have unlimited? You could ask 50 times for them.
I think the only airline I know that still does that is Malaysian Airlines.
Really?
They always have little packets of peanuts.
Well, there you go, because I haven't seen them on Qantas ever again.
Yep.
And I always thought, is it because people have allergies these days and they're scared of setting somebody off or getting them sick? But you don't get a lot anymore like we did when we were young. I remember also the first time I flew Compass Airlines and obviously they're gone. The next time I flew to Bali with Ansett Airlines. And do you remember when flying different airlines, you used to experience the service differences?
Yeah.
And Ansett back then was a pretty big Australian. It was the only competition that TAA or Australian Airlines had before Qantas sort of took over everything. And I loved it. Ansett had such a good customer service. Yep. And I flew with them for about 4 or 5 times to Bali, international. And when we talk about flying international, I remember the passport thing, the traveller's checks, because we didn't go to Bali with cash or rupiah. Isn't it? The traveller's checks were the first thing that we did.
Yep.
You'd go to your Thomas Cook Travel and you'd say, oh, here's $1,000. And they'd convert it into American dollars and they'd give you $700 worth of traveler's checks and that you would have to sign the traveler's check and then I can't remember if they were coded with something but you'd go off to Bali to the money changer and you'd give them the traveler's check and your passport, sign it again and then you'd get $100 or whatever, a million rupiah.
Just the complexity in that is amazing.
You know, the amount of time.
To think of what you had to do. I just find it amazing how simple it is now. And I look at the complexity even in I didn't get my foot over the border until I was 30. And it was a work-related trip with my mate Bob and I was working in Kalgoorlie and we had to go to the border. And I remember we drove into South Australia and I was like, wow, I've made it. I finally got here. And then in 2000... I made my first international trip. Motivation was attending a friend's wedding.
Yep. You know,
it wasn't just to do a vacation. It had to be meaningful. And I was still thinking in those days that just going overseas for a holiday was a bit of a wasteful splurge. So, yes, this is a wedding, so time to go. And still the complexity of having to book everything back then without the ease of technology.
You did everything through a travel agent because you didn't do it yourself. Now, we've got Katie's telling me we've got to call Phil on the line. He wants to have a chat to us. And if you want to talk about your first experience in travel, 1-3-3-8-82.
As a couple or on your own, whatever it is.
Let's go to Phil. G'day, Phil. Welcome to the program.
Yes, g'day. I flew Cathay Pacific to Hong Kong and to Toronto, and they have the packet peanuts on their flight.
Ah, see, I remember
the little packet.
Yeah, Cathay Pacific.
Are they free?
Yeah, they're free, yeah.
Ah, okay. So I remember that.
And because it's such a long flight,
yeah.
I think you're on the plane for about 13, 14 hours, then you can go down to the back of the plane and help yourself to more snacks anytime you want.
Oh, thank you, Cathay.
Cathay Pacific. We're going to have to fly them. I wonder if they fly to Bali. I tell you what, that's a thing that you don't see very much of, do you, being able to go and help yourself to anything?
Phil, did you help yourself to anything else?
Well, you go to the back of the plane and ask for another drink or a cup of tea or orange juice or anything you basically want, whatever they got, they'll give you. So, you know, and peanuts, all sorts of lollies, mint, whatever you want.
And the trick there, Phil, were you thinking ahead with your next, you know, with your leg of your journey, and did you sneak a few extra couple of packets of peanuts in your pocket?
Well, I think most people do.
I remember friends of mine flew, I think it was Air France, but it was a Qantas flight. They flew to Croatia and they had like a buffet at the back of the plane, and they were able to go and help themselves to drinks, to food, cakes and all that type of thing. I thought, wow, I've never been able to fly on a flight like that, and I can't eat anything now. But look, thank you very much for being part of it, Phil, and sharing your memories as well. And
no worries.
Thanks for listening in.
I just wanted to say, too, before I go.
Yep, go for it.
I flew once with Ethiopian Airlines. Has anyone flown with them before?
I've only seen a bad thing that happened with them a few months ago when that plane, one of them crashed, obviously, Ethiopian Airlines. No, were they good?
Yeah, they weren't bad. I flew from London to Rome with Ethiopian Airlines. Back in the, mid-80s or something, I think it was.
What was the standout? What was the thing that you remember most about that flight?
Well, I can't remember a lot about it, but it was I was just astounded that they flew to Rome, and they said, well, we usually stop there on the way to Ethiopia. And I said to them, who would want to go to Ethiopia in this time of the year? Yep. I said, there's nothing there. And they said, no, Ethiopia is beautiful,
it would
you know?
Be beautiful.
So I didn't realise that, you know?
Well, there you go, Ethiopian, and I didn't expect you to say Ethiopian Airlines, but thank you very much for sharing that as well. And are you travelling again soon?
No, I don't have anything booked at the moment,
fair enough.
I definitely love to.
Yep, I think we all do. It's nice. Is that feeling of whenever we fly, you're free and you have a nice break and all that type of thing. And do you remember your first trip that you ever took, your first travel memory?
Yeah, I do.
What was it?
I flew to Bali back in 1979, 78.
Yep.
And, I flew to Bali, and then from Bali I think we got a flight to Singapore, and then we took a train to Penang.
Yep.
And then I think a bus to Bangkok.
Wow.
And then we got another bus to Chiang Mai.
Yes.
And that was the first flight I'd ever taken out of Australia.
Amazing. Well done.
If the ban goes through, what's left here for me?
This isn't just about sheep. It's about people like me.
My town.
My community.
My future.
I am definitely not giving up.
Stand with us. Stand with our rural communities. Put Anthony Albanese and Labor last.
Authorised by Ben Sutherland. Keep your sheep Ravenslaw.
Tradies, got scrap metal lying around? Turn it into cash on the spot at Metal West Recycling. We take steel, aluminium and a range of other scrap metals. Just drop it off and we'll pay you cash. No waiting around. Head into Metal West Recycling, 41 Christopher Way, Lansdale. With easy access and machinery to help you unload, you can get in and get out fast. Perth's family run for over 40 years. MetalWestRecycling.com.au. Fast cash for your scrap.
Well, thank you. What were you going to say?
One time I was in New York, in London, I flew from London to New York for $99.
How cheap is that?
Airways, was it called?
Yep. Amazing, isn't it, how we used to get some cheap airfares. Do you remember those flights that I was saying to Chris about, what they used to call them again? Mystery flights. Mystery flights. You used to pay $99 on Ansett and TAA or Australian Airlines, and they wouldn't tell you where you're going until the night before, and you'd end up in Melbourne, Sydney,
Alice
Springs, Geraldton. Could be anywhere. I wish they'd bring those back.
Yeah.
Good on you. Thank you, Phil, and have a great weekend.
Worries.
What's
Thank
left
you.
Of it? We're going to take a little break, Chris, but what are we talking about? So those people who want to call us, what are we asking them to call in for?
First time. So I'd love to hear about some experiences, first time on your own. So, you know, how you managed that back in the day, you know, whether it was a first flight to Bali in the 70s and how different the airport would have been. But, yeah, your first time hopping on a train or a plane or...
And what did you see? Did you see that was different to today? Love to talk to you. 133-882. Chris is here. We're talking travel right after this.
On Perth 6PR, it's Saturday Nights with Fred Mafrica.
And we've got Chris Parry as well talking travel. Chris, we sort of tantalise people with the idea of first time ever experiencing travel. Now we're looking on your own. Have you ever travelled on your own, aren't we?
Yeah, I do a fair bit on my own.
Just that microphone in front of you there. There you
I do a fair bit on my own.
You is know, that because of work?
Yeah, for travel experiences. And the thing I find, the more I do... the more I miss my family, I wish they were there to experience. And I think that must be the thing for a lot of people that travel on their own, particularly if it's for work, but even if it's just because they like getting away and doing things as a solo traveller. I love to share it with someone else. And, you know, the beautiful view, the beautiful hotel, the beautiful
now
meal.
Or before?
I think all the time. Yeah. But increasingly... I do want my family with me.
Isn't that funny? Because when I used to be younger, I came from an Italian family, and we never went to hotels. We never stayed overnight. We never went to a wedding and stayed at the hotel. We always drove back in the Kingswood, and that was the way it went. Yeah. And how funny is it? The first time I used to travel to Mandurah. Do you remember the Atrium Hotel down there?
Absolutely.
And I'd stay a couple of days on my own. And I loved it. I loved it because it was like feeling like you were rich because you could order room service, you could watch the TV, go in the pool and you saw other people doing the same.
Yep.
And
in-house movies.
Yes. And people used to say to me, what do you do on your own? I say, open the window, close the window, open the light. And they'd laugh at me and I'd say, I just go out for dinner or I go to the beach. Or it was just a lot of fun being able to do things that we never did as kids.
Yep. And I do love the ability to explore. I think if I had to name something I love most about being a solo traveller, it's getting through an airport. Like if you're travelling with a family, having to make sure everyone's travelling, I like to travel pretty quick as I can through an airport, have everything how I like it.
Yep.
And you get through immigration and all those things. But with a family,
it's a lot harder.
Yep. And if you've got bags to pick up, that means more bags, all those sorts of things.
So. And if you've got young kids, their patience isn't the best, is it? And you're saying, come on, you got to walk this way. And they're saying, oh, I want to go away.
I think last year I took the family away to Europe for a month and that was all with carry-on. And I reckon there must be some sort of medal out there that I'm entitled to travel for a month with four people with just carry-on.
I reckon you're right. Do you know, I've always thought if a company out there, maybe you should do this, Chris, good idea for a business, someone should invent a service that they check it all in for you. So you give them your passports and everything and make it all legal, that the law has to change. Yep. And basically you still have to be there, but there's like an usher that sort of goes through, gives the passports, does the seating, and all you do is go and sit down in a little room till they clear you. And you pay a couple of $100s for that. I'd do it.
I think I know what that is. It's either celebrity or, and I've had this a couple of times travelling into a couple of countries where I've been invited to go and do stories.
Yeah.
And they've told me to go through the diplomats line. So you go through, you don't line up with all the other countries. You just go off to the side through the diplomats line.
Yep.
And that seems to be a lot quicker.
Well, do you remember AirAsia? They're still around, but AirAsia started this thing called the red carpet. And we used to pay $36, and that is cheap. And for $36, you got the red carpet, and you also got a free lounge pass, which was great, you know, free drinks, free food. But what the red carpet meant was you'd go to the airport, and when you got to Bali, say, you know how you have to go through customs and that? Exactly what I said to you before. A person from AirAsia dressed in their uniform would take your passports, go to their friend at the cashier there and say blah, 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 blah in their language, and they'd say to you, walk through and we'll meet you on the other side, and then they would come and give you your passports all stamped and everything. Yep. And I thought, what a wonderful service. Clearly it's not happening anymore and $36 was a very small price to pay for that.
I will say, though, and I know it's getting away from the first time, but I travelled recently with AirAsia up to Malaysia and they've got their own rideshare business up in KL now.
Really?
So you can tie that all in. So from Perth, you fly up on your AirAsia flight. You hop off at Kuala Lumpur into an AirAsia car, and it can take you to a hotel that's managed through the AirAsia partnerships and chains, and it's all done like that as well.
What a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
Now, if you're out there and you want to be part of the show, we'd love to have your calls. 133-882, first-time travel, even on your own. Anything at all that you want to sort of pass on with us? When did you fly the first time? What was it like? Where did you go? What were the differences? I mean, I remember the first time I went to Melbourne, didn't know where to stay.
Yep.
So I went to St Kilda because everybody went to St Kilda because that was the party place for young people. And I ended up at this hotel called the Royal Hotel. It was the most horrible hotel, dirty sheets, broken windows. I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to get killed here. And I was crying in the room as an 18. I just thought, what do I do here? And you didn't have a phone, so you couldn't call anyone for help. So I went down and said, look, my mum's not well. I have to leave. And they kept everything but $100. They kept the $100. And I ended up walking down the street in St Kilda. And this kid comes up to me, maybe 15, 16. And I thought, I'll hold all my bags. Back then, you were allowed to take 300 bags with you. No charge, you know. And the kid said, are you looking for a hotel? I said, yes. And he goes, come this way. I'll take your bag. And I thought, oh, well, what do I do? He took my bag. It seemed legitimate. Took me to a motel. And it's called the Pebble Court Motel at the end of St Kilda Road there. And it was $42 a night. And it was a really nice, clean motel. And I ended up staying there three or four times when I went again. And that was my first experience of a motel.
Yeah, my first experience of a motel was the Emu Point Motel.
Where was that?
Down at Albany.
Yeah.
And and we thought it was pretty swish. You could ring up to get your meal without going to the, you know, a motel restaurant or nearby. And those wooden hatches by the door.
Yep.
That would open.
That's
and your meal would be slid through.
Suddenly you'd hear a unlatching and then the next thing a tray would
appear.
And you'd
get your slice of beef with a bit of gravy and a couple of veg on the side. Oh, the bread roll. But that little hatch would open.
I do remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
And then later on the night, the breakfast did. Maybe the breakfast, if it was continental,
correct,
might come through. Yeah.
Incredible experiences. That some of them are great. I mean, and some of them you think, oh, yeah, I'm glad they've modernised that. But do you remember having a breakfast when you stayed at a hotel, like a buffet breakfast? First time that I went to a place and I could eat back then, and the buffet. And you just your eyes were just amazed at all the food.
Particularly on an international level, because you will have the buffet section particular for different cultures and trying something different and wondering why would people have, say, congee and, you know, porridges or nasi lemak and why would you have rice and dried fish and all this sort of stuff and as your breakfast.
Mm.
But taking the opportunity to try that, getting beyond a bit of scrambled eggs on toast, there's nothing like your first buffet. And I think I remember my first buffet with the family and it was, you know, at the resort in Bali.
Mm.
And I think we went back to that resort just because of the breakfast buffet.
I think you're right.
I'm not sure what that says about my family.
Go on.
It was a great experience.
I mean, was going to say, do you remember the first time you travelled, right, anywhere, overseas? Do you ever remember going for the international food or did you try Australia? What were you used to?
I think I started off Western, but these days I'm just, you know.
You experiment more.
I am in love with a nasi lemak.
Yep.
You know, just the rice with a bit of
the chili. Sambal.
Yep, a bit of chili and dried fish and peanuts and a boiled egg.
And there's nasi champur as well, which is another one my friend has.
I do love that. But sometimes it is nice just to be able to. Look, I would recommend this to anyone. Don't ever get between my wife and the egg station.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love egg stations. Yeah. I mean, whoever invented
them? She leaps over tables. It's an A to B. If there's anything in the way, she's just through them.
Yeah,
look. Get to the egg station, poached eggs,
I think she's
hollandaise.
Right. Yep, absolutely. I think it's one of those sort of things that you get so much when you travel. And also, I mean, I know we've only got a couple of minutes left, but the rooms, you know, the room itself, when you look at, the first time I went to Bali, we stayed at the Kuta Jaya Hotel and it had a little plastic coated laminated thing and it said on there, you can order all of these items. And I thought, why would you want to order a remote control, a pillow, a blanket, a towel? And I thought, is this a joke? And I said to the lady at reception, I said, why have you got this menu of items in the room? She goes, because people can order it. And I said, But it says $300 for the TV. And she says because it stops people stealing it.
Yeah.
If they want it and if they steal it and we find it missing, we charge them that amount on their room.
I think for anyone that's ever been to Legoland,
yep.
if you stay at the Legoland Hotel, yep. every single thing in that room, there's a list in the room.
Mm.
The curtains, the carpet, everything.
Sounds fantastic. We've been reminiscing with Chris Parry, of course, our travel guy. Chris, when are you back with us?
I think I've been told a couple of weeks. I think there's a thing called an election.
A federal election.
Next week, and then there might be something else called footy the weekend after that.
We'll be looking forward to you in a few weeks' time.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being with us. How do we get a hold of you? Do you have a website?
Yeah, if you just look up Chris Parry Writes for Us. You'll get to some of these wonderful radio stories and published works as well with our good friend Tavago News and a few other publications as well.
Love your work. Thank you very much, Chris. Nice to have you here on Saturday nights and reminiscing about the times we used to travel when we were young.
First times.
Well done. Thank you very much. We'll take a break here on 6PR. More coming up right after this.
If the ban goes through, what's left here for me?
This isn't just about sheep. It's about people like me.
My town.
My community.
My future.
I am definitely not giving up.
Stand with us.
Stand with our rural communities. Put Anthony Albanese and Labor last.
Authorised by Ben Sutherland. Keep your sheep brave and slow.
Your home is your haven and protecting it shouldn't cost a fortune. At Australian Seniors, get up to 20% off when you combine your home and contents policies and choose a higher excess to help lower your premiums. Search Seniors Home and Contents Insurance and get a quote today. Australian Seniors, the over 50 specialists. General advice only. Consider whether it is right for you. T's and C's and exclusions apply. See PDS and TMD on website. Issued by Hullard Insurance Company.
Ready to grow your small business? Streaming is the new television, and Nine Ad Manager puts your business in the biggest shows on Nine now, Australia's most watched free TV streaming platform. Simply create your campaign, manage when it runs, who it reaches, and track how it performs. You can even create your own video ad, all for only $550. Reach future customers wherever they watch TV with Nine Ad Manager. Get started now at 9admanager.com.au.